This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
I didn't watch the replay of it till after the game. Definitely a hit that you don't like. The penalty was well deserved. I know I had a couple guys that wanted to go after him right away. Where we were at in the game, there was going to be a time we were going to even the score.
People on the outside who would see that play, Lindy, would come to the conclusion that your team would not.
Let's go. Next question.
The guy, how frustrating is it, though? It's a match penalty, and the guy left, so you didn't even get a chance. He's gone for the year, and you don't play
him. Well, then you pick another guy. Pick any guy, then.
Welcome in. We are back on Mondays. It's Sabres Live. There's a fair amount to discuss here. And the latest development, Martin, is no supplemental discipline, right? For Stefan Nason of the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah, Jeff Merrick tweeted that first. And basically, there will be no supplemental discipline. The 5-minute major penalty, match penalty, was all that's going to be the consequence of the hit. I had to rewatch it a bunch of times today, and I tried my best to take myself out of the Buffalo Sabres bubble to be able to compare it to other situations. And unfortunately, it draws me back to the J.J. Paterka-Brendan Dillon hit, where Dillon steps up on Paterka, and there was no supplemental discipline on that one either, because the key language in the rule book is where the head is avoidable. Like, if the head is avoidable, then it's like, okay, you're going to get suspended. But if you couldn't avoid the head, you were going to give a through-the-body type of hit, and you couldn't avoid the head because the head was either lower or changed position last second, then they let you go free. So I understood the Dillon hit on Paterka because I'm like, okay, it's pretty much a north-south hit, right? But when Thompson gets hit by Nason, it's not a north-south hit. It's Nason is going north-south as Thompson is kind of going east-west a little bit. And I felt there was too much contact to the head to let that one slide. I get there's a few replays that shows that, well, Thompson kind of leans forward trying to get back to the puck and maybe that made the league and the Department of Player Safety say, oh, you know what? He changed his position last second. The game is being played fast. Nason wasn't going to be able to avoid the head of Thompson, so we're going to let that go. I feel different. I felt like, okay, these are the type of hits that are dangerous. You come in, you see the guy's head down, and you go right through the head. I felt that, but I also want to kind of like look around the NHL, what's been happening and how the Department of Player Safety has seen those hits before. So am I surprised there's no supplemental discipline? 100%. But then I rewatch and rewatch. I'm like, okay, maybe that's what the league saw on the play.
Right. And as it pertains to Buffalo, it really matters not whether there is or isn't supplemental discipline. What matters is the moment, the impact, the star player being hit, and the concern moving forward. Now, the immediate after, you know, the words from the coach were that Tage passed the test, was, you know, in a as good as he can be, a good place at the time of Lindy's presser. There's no
practice. I don't want Lindy to go on after the game and say Tage is hurt and whatever. Like, if Lindy got the word that Tage was fine, passed all the tests, and would have been practicing today if they had a practice, I almost feel like that probably allowed the players, the Department of Player Safety, to say, okay, there was no injuries on the play, we're fine, like it was a contact and we're good. But I also don't like it when coaches go on after and they make a huge deal out of something that maybe wasn't there just to get a player suspended, right? Like, so maybe that sound bites and he's fine, he passed all the tests, he's good. Maybe that played into the situation as well, because there was no injuries apparently on the play.
Well, as you say, no practice today, no media availability. Columbus is here to take on the Sabres tomorrow night to close out the homestand. So, given everything that happened in the game, the questions that were asked of the players involved, not involved, the coach, it's obvious to anyone following now that they're, I think, wondering what comes next. So what gets taken? I don't know any other way to describe it other than an unfortunate moment. Like,
it had been building up a little bit, though. That's the thing. That? There was a little bit of a build up, though, because Nason had been kind of running around and he hit Zucker on the goal, and there was a build up in the game.
Yes, 100%. So that's why I'm trying to, like, it. What's done is done, and I think based on player, coach, and fan reaction that has happened now since the end of this game, I'm focused more on what next, what changes, what do they take from this latest moment? And the moment contained a win, and that became a talking point as well in the post game as far as how the actual course of play unfolded. But I'm trying to dive in to your experience, and no two experiences are alike, so this might not even be
the experience from last night is probably going to be different. If something happens tomorrow, Columbus comes in, something happens on the ice, that experience is different than what happened last night too. That experience is there's no
it's
two
different
situations
other than the fact that
you are more experienced and maybe you recognize it better. But look, I've been part of those. We all know that. You know, my last home game was the Ottawa Brawl, and it was a situation where one of our players got hit, a dirty hit, and, you know, we responded. I've been part of some where I had no idea what happened. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, Patrice Bergeron got hit from behind by one of our defensemen in Philly the one year, missed like 30 games before the concussion. There was no fighting. I remember hearing the hit, turning around, being like, what just happened? Mm-hmm. And everybody's standing there like, what just happened? Nobody saw it. Boston Bruins didn't do anything. They didn't go after Randy Jones. It was like, what just happened? So it does happen fast. But I'm one that absolutely hate when somebody delivers a clean hit, and then there's five guys that challenge the player that gave a hit.
Yeah.
So I get that the game happens fast. I would have liked a better response on the ice yesterday. No denying it. I think that there was, it's Tage Thompson, the puck was right there. It wasn't like the puck was 30 feet to the right and the play happened to the left. You weren't paying attention. I would have liked a better response on the ice yesterday at that moment. It didn't happen. So then you think about, okay, what's next? Well, let's respond later in the game. Well, unfortunately, that option didn't present itself to anybody on Buffalo because they ended up with a five-minute major penalty, which the Sabres had a five-minute power play. They gave up a shorthanded goal. It's 4-3. They took a penalty later. They took another penalty. Like, it's like we're scrambling to win in a game here. So your first reaction as a player is, let's win the game. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, like, where you are in the year or whatever. You're trying to win the game. But would I have liked a better response at the moment? 100%. So my feeling and my experience tells me that Lindy was pretty animated last night when he talked to the media. And he was pretty animated in two different ways. Like, almost like, you know, our team is not, like, fans and people are going to say this team doesn't respond or whatever. And he's like, bull, right? He jumped at that. Knowing that there was some guys that wanted to do it, but they didn't get that opportunity. But then after, he did say, pick another guy. Like, go up, Nason's not there, pick another guy. So I think there was also that part. And I would anticipate that there was that message, there was a conversation with the players, there will be another one. Like, that is something that's why Kevin Adams brought in Lindy Ruff. Because it's like, hey, we need to, like, you need to be able to have that conversation with the players in the locker room. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen yesterday. And my thinking is there's a lot of players that will learn a great deal from that experience. Is it bad? Yes. It's Tage Thompson laying on the ice? Yes. Tage plays tomorrow night. It's a totally different way of looking at it because, oh, there's not a lot of repercussion moving forward with Tage himself. But it still happened. And if something is presented that way again with that group of player, it will not be the same response.
Does it really matter who the victim is on the play?
That's a great question because it shouldn't.
Team dynamic, I'm assuming it doesn't and shouldn't. But what happens here is in this situation, because of how it went down, people phrase it a certain way because of who was hit, right? And I'm just, again, I'm trying to learn more and more about this dynamic and thus why I present the question like, what changes moving forward? And I apologize for, you know, putting you on the spot.
It's our first Monday of the year.
Because you still got the 2025 vocal cords hammering you here.
I thought February was going to, like, lead me into a better direction. It's gone the other way. But, no, it should not matter who the player is that is getting victimized by the hit. Mm-hmm. But it does. And I'm sorry, it does. It's just everybody's got – you look around the locker room, I would go to – war with every single one of them. But certain situations make your heart rate go a lot higher. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it is. You know, there's no disrespect for Beck Malenstein or, you know, the difference between him or Zach Benson and Tage Thompson. But it does. It usually brings a different response internally inside of everybody. And to your point, Duffer, too, like, you and I are on the same line. You and I have played together for 2-3 years. We're good friends. My internal reaction is going to be different if you get hit than if producer Jeff gets hit and he just got traded to us a week ago and I don't know him all that well. Mm. Right? Like, I mean, there's an emotional side to this as well. So that's why it's there. It shouldn't matter, but everybody's human and it is a different situation.
So if you were talking this through as a player, teammate, someone involved here, or from the coach or even management, like, what do you, like, again, today no practice, no media availability. Now, but we all know the reality is the team will be together either today and or tomorrow morning before partaking in morning skate, media availability, next game. Like, what do you think is being talked about here? And how?
I would think that, see, you have more information when you're inside the locker room, right? Like, you get off the ice, you're winning, you know, Jiri passes the vest over to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Upi, great job. Like, and Luukkonen was really good in the game. Like, that's something we all have to acknowledge. Like, he was really good in the game. So, you know, you're like, hey, great job. Tage is walking around. He's taking a shower. How you doing? I'm great. Okay. Oh, like, I think that inside the locker room, because you're in there, maybe it gets talked about for 5 minutes, and then you move on to something else. Outside the locker room, well, obviously, as media, fans, whatever, we have to kind of dissect everything. And, you know, often, that's why I say often, it should be better if we had the NFL-style injury list, so we wouldn't be speculating on anything. If today was a, you know, a practice day, it's not. But if it was a practice day and obviously say Tage Thompson practiced in full, you'd be like, yeah, he's totally fine, right? If it was listed Tage Thompson limited or Tage Thompson not practicing, there's a reason. Like, I feel like the NFL injury list is better to protect the players, to protect everybody, to know like, hey, he's good or he's not good. You can move on. You can talk about something else. So, but today there's no practice. There's no communication. But I can, the way Lindy spoke after the game, this was not just a mention in the locker room. This was something that was going to be discussed and talked about even more as they get into the game tomorrow. And then they don't have a game until Saturday. So yeah, they have even more time to talk about it, maybe if they want to after that.
Right. They start tomorrow, 12 back of Columbus and Detroit. They hold the current two wildcard spots in the Eastern Conference. This is after Buffalo has picked up 3 wins in a row and tries for that elusive fourth in a row tomorrow night. What are they doing well enough here to try to complete a perfect homestand tomorrow?
What do you doing well enough is their top line is performing. and that's another part of the whole thing is if Tage Thompson is a reason why your top line's performing. And he has been like right now, Tage would get over 40 goals, would probably be close to or near like that 80 to 90 points. Like that's what I think he's on pace to do. He's performing. And he's performing with Jiri Kulik, who's playing so well, and JJ Paterko, who's got a jump going. And so to me, that's the thing. What are they doing so well? Well, they've got their studs playing like studs. And I'm not, look, is there some guys that need to play better? 100%. Some guys that need to perform better, offensively especially? Yes. But you've got Dahlin, who's got 20 assists in 18 games. You got Power, who's got points in 5 in a row. You got the Kulik line that's performing. You've got your top guys that you want to see performing, and that's getting you wins. So that even multiplies things because Tage gets hit, and it's like, oh, that's our offense right now. That's how we're winning games. So that's why if he plays tomorrow and if he's 100%, it's great to see because that's how you've been winning games.
One thing that, you know, and again, this is anytime there's a deadline in life, it, you know, gets a little more pressing, interesting, tense, if you will, as you push towards it. And many in the hockey world are suggesting there might be 2 deadlines.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Right now, just based on the nature of the schedule and how the game is going to pause for the Four Nations. But regardless of which deadline you're focused on or period of time, trade deadline, gap in the schedule coming up, like, we have seen a lot of major deals here in the last 10 days. So when you're viewing like where the Sabres are at, what other teams, whether they're right near them or higher up, whatever, like how do you think the landscape has changed right now as we start resuming talking points about potential change, potential interest in players, players you would covet? You know, like, what are you seeing now that some of those names that have been so talked about for so long, I certainly was most guilty about Mikael Granlund because I've been talking about him since October. And, you know, he's now off the block. He's in Dallas with Cody Ceci, who defeated Columbus last night. There has been significant change here in the NHL.
Yeah, well, it started, obviously, the Kuzmenko trade, right, with the...
It started with Rantanen,
you're right. So it started with Rantanen, that was two Fridays ago, and he gets moved. Then, you know, a week later, you get, well, okay, we get a, like, a kind of a, something to clear your palate. Kuzmenko and Pelche get traded for Frost and Farabee. And we've seen that impact, right? Frost scored with the Flames yesterday. And so you're seeing that develop. And then, boom, we have the JT Miller, you know, trade happening. And personally, I think that the New York Rangers did not have to give up much to acquire JT Miller.
Next to nothing. Granted, they took on all the salary, but still.
Yeah, like Filipino is a good player.
And that's no disrespect to Hedl, it's just.
Filipino is a good player, but Filipino has dealt with a lot of injuries, and you don't know. You don't know what you're going to get. He's a good player. Is he JT Miller, superstar caliber? No. And the Vancouver Canucks get a AHL player in Victor Mancini and a first-round pick. Like, you basically traded a superstar for Hedl's salary, that's a lot, and a first-round pick. Like, it just was nothing. So, yeah, I was very, very surprised. And I get it. JT Miller has a no-trade clause, no-movement clause. He gets to pick where he wants to go, and then you have to make a deal with that team. But, yeah, for all that has been plaguing the Vancouver Canucks with that situation between Miller and Pettersson, they did not get much in the JT Miller trade, you know, with the New York Rangers.
But did they get what they wanted? which is resolution to the situation. Do you think?
I was going to answer your question with a question. Is did they question mark? No, I don't think so. I think this is going to linger because the way that I understand it, and I kind of painted a Flutie Johnson comparison here in the time with the Bills, is that there's two players that don't really like each other, two players that are having a hard, like, there's meetings, we're good, we're not good, we're good, we're not good. What happens is it splits the locker room. It splits the locker room. There's players that are like, hey, I'm buddy with JT. There's players that are, I'm buddy with Pettersson. And they kind of take sides, and then one guy gets traded, and it takes a while for everything to settle. It probably won't happen this year. I mean, if it does, good for them. But that's why I still think that there's a chance that Elias Pettersson gets traded, because I think the Vancouver Canucks may think, like, look, this is not over. We need to clear everything, and we need to win that trade. If they trade Pettersson, they may be able to win that trade where they did not win the JT Miller trade.
Yeah, what if they didn't win the, like, that's, I
if they don't win either one of them?
Well, not in convincing public perception manner. I mean, they're this far removed from being one of the talking points of the league last year.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, anything is possible in pro sports. Just look at the NBA and the deal between the Lakers and Dow. Like, this is just, it's so, I don't like using the word, but it is kind of unbelievable, isn't it? Like,
it is unbelievable. It also is unbelievable now how, and it was like that for certain players, but how you can, as a player, kind of force the hand and dictate a situation. And I'm not saying that's what happened in the NBA, but is it, I saw today that, is it Myles Garrett, Jeff, producer Jeff would know on the football side, that says he's requesting a trade from Cleveland. He's one of the best defensive, you know, player you can get. And now he wants to force himself out of there. So this is going to be crazy. There's going to be crazy action. Obviously here in Buffalo, as we know, they're probably going to talk about it all the time. But so I think the difference with Elias Pettersson, with JT Miller, no move clause, makes a, you know, 31 years old, whatever. Elias Pettersson's 26, has no move clause, doesn't kick in until the summer, but he's making $11.6 million. And that's a big ticket. And who wants
it
to
is, take but it? But that, I feel like all of that got softened with the cap numbers that came out last week, right?
100%. When you know in 3 years it's going to be 113. And did you know that those are projection? Next year's number is set at 95.5. But the 2 years down the road and 3 years down the road, their projection, and the NHLPA and the players have actually said that they think it may even go higher than that. Those are like the probably low-end projection. We could see a cap in 3 years being at 118 instead of 113.5.
Right,
like, it could happen.
Yeah, I mean, my reaction to you saying that Pettersson could still be in play is just based on how would the Canucks have gone from what they were last year in the regular season and playoffs to all of a sudden having just Quinn Hughes as your marketable player? No offense to Thatcher Demko, but we know the injury. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that would be hard to imagine, recognizing they're going to get something in return if they trade Elias, but I
don't know. What if Thatcher Demko didn't get hurt game one against Nashville at the end of the game when it didn't matter after a empty net goal? Like, that's a big, you know, we'll have a, you know, one of those commercials where they go on backwards, right? And they go back to the beginning. Like, that's maybe the beginning of the end for the Vancouver Canucks was then.
Yeah, I just can't imagine. It just seems hard. I think Elias, I mean, the one thing that is painfully obvious would be the amount of pressure one would think is on Pettersson now in Vancouver. Or do you think just the opposite? Do you think...
Oh, I think the pressure is on Pettersson 100%.
Publicly, yes. Do you think the player himself feels like, Well, I'm sure all of a sudden we start seeing the Elias Pettersson that was a 100-point Pettersson.
Funny enough, I think it's going to tell us a lot about him. And there's a lot of people that are split between Elias Pettersson's a fantastic hockey player, and Elias Pettersson is not really sweating a ton during the games, right? Like, look at what happened yesterday. Patrick Laine got benched with the Montreal Canadiens. There's a lot of people that have drawn comparison to Patrick Laine and Elias Pettersson. Like, good players can shoot the puck, can score and whatnot. The heartbeat isn't always there, right? And that's going to tell a lot on Elias Pettersson moving forward. Quickly, because we're talking trades or whatever, Rich here on X is asking, any thought maybe there's no morning skate today because there's a trade that's going to happen? Maybe that response was finally what pushed GM Kevin Adams over the edge. Wishful thinking, but you never know. I don't think that the not skating today was because of that. Like, they have their days off in the schedule for
Are you
going to
feel bad when we have a 105 press release?
Saying there's a trade or... but I'm just saying, with the action that we've seen around the league...
Yeah,
we talk about the JT Miller and all of that. It's not just those trades.
Right.
It's, you know, we talked about Mikael Granlund. We talk about Marcus Pettersson, Drew O'Connor between Vancouver and the Pittsburgh Penguins. There's been a lot of move. I'm almost thinking a lot of teams want to get their business done before the Four Nations face off so that, as you pointed out, hey, you know what? Take the 2 weeks, go home, pack up, figure it out, and then come back refreshed. Mm-hmm. And I think GMs are really exploring that this week before the tournament starts in a week and a half from now.
Well, maybe let's dive in deeper on some names that might be higher up on the trade board and or everything else that is certainly relevant around the NHL right now. Again, the Sabres, 12 back of Detroit and Columbus as it's only one game tonight, but obviously tomorrow Buffalo resumes against the Jackets, a team that had an injury, well, I mean, they've had so many injuries, but had a real unfortunate parade of injuries in their loss last night to Dallas. So we'll update you on their situation. The Red Wings have won 6 in a row. Ottawa has won 4 in a row, but Josh Norris is hurt again. There's an awful lot going on. And there's something for you to consider. I mean, the sun is peeking through right now, which is nice. It was a little bit of a murky day to start.
Yeah.
But next month, Road Crew in Florida, I'd like to see you there. It's in Lauderdale. Some of my personal favorites, like Don Edwards, Danny Gare, Jerry Korab, Jim Lorenz, to name just a few of the many Sabres alumni who will be in attendance. Visit sabres.com/roadcrew today, and maybe you'll be hanging out with all of us on March the 7th, which just happens to be trade deadline day in the NHL based on everything we were just talking about. Tickets are $20. Again, sabres.com/roadcrew. Hope to see you in Florida. We'll see you right after this as we continue Sabres Live.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.